Barbarian Tribes of Rome, the Celts, Celtic Art. Although we often associate Celtic culture with its warring and raiding, there are other aspects that are worth mentioning. Most specifically, it's art. Because art does not require writing, we have considerably large amounts of evidence available to us that allow us to trace the history of Celtic art development from the early Hallstatt culture all the way to the Celtic cultures that remain in Ireland and maintain the tradition throughout the modern ages. Typically, Celtic art is divided into three areas, or eras: Hallstatt, Latin, and post-Roman Irish. Now, the part of the reason art is so important in Celtic society was because of its prestige goods system that we've already discussed. This was essentially a client list system, meaning regular people, laborers, gave their allegiance to a noble in exchange for security. But in order for a person to gain the status of a noble and to be able to collect this nobility, he needed to demonstrate his wealth. And one of the ways to do this was acquire and showcase luxury items. This practice meant that art was of great value to the Celts right from the very beginning, and trade networks they established were often designed to help them acquire these artifacts. Some examples include pottery from Greece and Rome, but there's even evidence of silks from China making their way all the way into Central Europe, which serves as evidence as the importance of these ideas in the ancient Celtic culture. However, this was not the only source of art for the Celts. They also had their own styles, many of which were influenced by the Mediterranean cultures of Greece and Rome. Furthermore, art was also an integral part of Celtic warrior culture, more specifically the outfitting of warriors with well-decorated swords, armor, and clothing was an important part to Celtic society. It appears that Celtic warriors were not interested in merely equipping themselves with gear for war, but rather with decorative garments, perhaps as another means of expressing to other warriors and enemies their own self-worth within the fighting unit. So let's start with the Hallstatt style. The first culture to emerge we identify as being Celtic is that which developed in the Hallstatt zone near the Danube River in Austria. During this time, we can see Celtic culture in its early stages. For example, it's believed that a stratified society with nobles and warlords on the top developed during this period, and because of this, significant emphasis was given to art. The Hallstatt culture developed during the transition from the European Bronze Age to the European Iron Age, which was a period of time in which bronze tools were slowly replaced by stronger, more durable instruments made from iron. As a result, much of the art that remains from this period are decorative iron items, although some of the art from this period was still made with bronze. Generally speaking, these decorations were placed on everyday items, such as swords, knives, spears, and other tools or weapons. Other items made from metal included jewelry, brooches, rings, and ornaments, and they often were made in a geometric style. Spirals and other repeating geometric patterns were very common, and over time they became a defining characteristic of Celtic art, although it is more likely that the Celts learned this from other cultures in Europe. These designs can also be found on their stone carvings. However, one remarkable example of Hallstatt art are the items known as cult wagons. These pieces are tiny replicas of four-wheeled carts or wagons that archaeologists believe may have been some sort of religious significance. They typically depict some sort of scene, such as a sacrifice or offering, and there is a bowl raised above the scene that is supported by several thin pillars. The current theory amongst archaeologists and art historians is this was used to place some sort of libation that would be consumed during the ceremony. These small bronze or iron sculptures have almost always been found in graves, which is why they've been attributed religious significance. But a good deal of mystery still remains about their actual purpose and function. One of the best examples of these cult wagons is one found in Streswig, in a site in Austria. It is made of bronze and depicts a sacrificial scene. It was found near a good deal of other grave goods, which is where the above theory comes from. No matter what its purpose was, the metalworking was intricate and demonstrates that the Celtic people were perhaps gifted artists right from the beginning of their history. Another popular form of art from this period were carvings, and those are most common designs were of humans and animals. Many of these appear to have been some sort of religious undertone, meaning they depicted God or some other deity. If we knew more about Celtic mythology from this time period, then perhaps we could connect some of these items to some of the stories the Celts told about themselves. But since this information does not exist, all we can do is speculate. Another important part of the Hallstatt art were human heads. As mentioned, the human head was given considerable importance in Celtic religion, at least based on what we know about it. Heads without bodies have been found in many Celtic sites, including those in the Hallstatt zone, but also in those found in other parts of Europe. In instances where the full body is there, the head is usually exceptionally large, offering further evidence of the importance of this body part to Celtic religion. Stone reliefs can also be found at various Hallstatt sites throughout Europe, although these examples are rare and tend to be centralized around the areas where there were very strong Greek presence, suggest that this was not a major part of the actual Hallstatt artistic culture. Yet despite this, there is a wide range of pieces of Hallstatt art, and this laid the groundwork for a culture of art to flourish in later Celtic society. The Latin culture emerged after the Hallstatt culture, and as it grew, it slowly developed into our modern understanding of Celtic culture. As a result, much of the art that comes out of this period from roughly 500 to 50 BCE can trace its roots to the Hallstatt culture, but there were some considerable advances made during this period that helped the Celtic art stand out as compared to the artistic traditions of nearby cultures. The best example of this was the introduction of goldsmithing. Celts during the Latin period got quite skilled at shaping gold, and some of the artifacts to come out of this era include collars, neck chains, clasps, brackets, and to a much lesser extent, sculptures. One very popular use of gold was the torque, which is essentially a rigid necklace, although it's usually found on the arm. This is believed to have been worn by those with status, a theory that is in line with the prestige goods social structure mentioned earlier. Sculptures and engravings also advanced considerably during this time, with distinct styles emerging in different parts of Europe. Many of these artifacts are found on weapons, mainly swords, and other tools, showing once again how the Celtic military and artistic culture were closely linked. However, during this period, the geometrical shapes found during the Hallstatt era get a considerably more elaborate look to them, with artisans spending time trying to mimic the patterns and designs seen in nature, especially in vegetation. Again, this emphasis on geometrical symmetry would wind up being an important part of Celtic artistic tradition that remained after the Roman conquest of most of the Celtic world. Also during this period, the Celtic artists worked to include animal images in their designs. This helped not only to make the design more aesthetically pleasing and interesting, but also helped to make the artifact more personal. As they were usually found on swords and other weapons, this suggests these designs may have been a way for the nobility and other elites to distinguish themselves from regular people while on the battlefield. However, despite all this attention to detail and emphasis on art, there is still no evidence of painting at this point in Celtic art history. This could have been because they lacked the skills or the resources to paint, but it also equally likely that these artifacts simply do not remain due to their perishable nature. There is little evidence of painting in other more durable goods, such as pots. The final style is post-Roman Irish. After the Romans invaded and conquered the Iberian Peninsula, Gaul, and Britain, Celtic culture all but disappeared throughout mainland Europe. The Celtic language eventually gave way to Latin. The Celtic way of life went through a process known as Romanization. However, in Britain, Celtic culture was retained, and seeking a way to preserve their culture, the Celts moved to the western part of Britain, Wales, and then into Ireland. But there was considerable instability in Ireland during this period, and this hindered the development of a strong pre-Roman Irish Celtic tradition. So the Celtic art styles that remained alive after the rise and fall of Rome were mere shadows of the original Celtic art, and they also take on a significant Christian undertone. This post-Roman Irish style, sometimes referred to as Irish Celtic, is unique in that it can trace its roots to the first Celtic cultures, but it also is its own style. And we should be wary of making too many connections. Nevertheless, it remained the dominant style on the island until at least the 12th century AD. Perhaps the best known examples of these are the Irish Celtic crosses, featuring intricate designs that include repeating geometrical patterns These crosses are clearly influenced by past Celtic styles, although the Celts themselves probably learned this technique from the Greeks and the Romans. However, the fact these designs show up in Christian crosses shows how pre-Roman Celtic styles managed to survive Roman conquest and influence later versions of Celtic art. Furthermore, since these artifacts are of some of the best preserved, most widely recognized pieces from Celtic tradition, they have helped contribute to the idea that the Celts originated in Britain and Ireland, which we know is at least partially false. Other pieces of art that are characteristic of this period are manuscript illuminations. These were developed by the Irish Celtic missionaries who traveled throughout Ireland and Britain to try and spread Christianity. And they brought these elaborately decorated manuscripts with them to exhibit some of the Celtic influences. These manuscripts would later influence those made in Gothic, Romanesque, and Carolingian styles, which were the dominant mode of expression throughout the Middle Ages. In addition, these missionaries also brought with them metalworking pieces that were made using traditional Celtic styles, meaning they were decorated with intricate geometric patterns. This helped Celtic art to continue to spread throughout the early Middle Ages. However, by the 11th or 12th century AD, after the Norse invasion of Britain and Ireland, it becomes more and more difficult to distinguish a distinct Celtic style. Today, Celtic art has experienced a revival, as the Celts, still alive today, seek to revitalize their culture and keep it alive for future generations. And if we know anything about Celtic culture, it's that it is resilient. So that finishes our sojourn into the Celts. Next time, we'll be going back to Germans, and we'll be looking at the culture of the Germanic peoples, and then once we finish with that, we'll be going into the individual German tribes that will be coming into Rome. Now, the source for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Civilization of the Celts by Launay, Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.